Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Randall White. Today, our focus is on the Employment Development Department, also commonly known as the EDD. The good news is that we will hear from the EDD and a California lawmaker during this hour about what the agency is doing to move forward and improve. The bad news is that we only have an hour, because if you have been dealing with unemployment insurance during this pandemic and unprecedented economic hardship, you already know how big of a topic this is. You may have experienced or heard about the delays, the sudden suspension of benefits, the starts and restarts, the tens of millions of dollars wasted by fraudulent accounts, inmates sitting in jail getting paid, and extreme call center wait times. Yesterday, there was a hearing at the state capitol where the state auditor delivered reports to the Assembly Insurance and Joint Legislative Audit Committees. The reports pulled back the curtains on an overburdened, massive state agency that has, for the most part, failed to keep up with the millions of people who need unemployment payments. Here is Republican Assemblyman Jim Patterson of Fresno.
My office has processed and is processing right now 3,000 constituent cases, all about EDD. Our call volumes are not going down, they're going back up. The calls that we are getting to our office are as desperate as they have been. And so, I join with other colleagues here in saying there are faces, there are real people, people that I have known in Fresno my lifetime.
Again, Assemblyman Patterson, he will join us later this hour. But first, Politico California reporter Katie Murphy joins us. She is based in Sacramento and has been following the EDD saga for months. Katie, thank you for joining us to break down the latest report by the state auditor.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so we have all pretty much heard about the issues plaguing the EDD, the fraud, the delays, the staffing issues, and on, but what were some of the key takeaways from the auditor's reports?
Well, there were two. It was interesting and telling in itself that there were two separate reports that came out last week. The first one found that the agency was even less prepared than it could have been to deal with the huge spike in unemployment that we saw last spring, that it experienced some of the same delays and IT problems back during the Great Recession, but that it didn't start planning for the next downturn until, ironically, just before the pandemic hit. The second report really focused, zeroed in on the fraud and found what it called a lax approach to fraud prevention. For example, it found that the department waited until September to identify addresses that were associated with multiple claimants. And it mentioned one address that was used for 1,700 different claims.
1,700?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. There were so many things that it found. It's hard to get into it all, but that audit called EDD's fraud response disjointed and ineffective, and pointed out that it doesn't have a centralized unit to deal with this issue. And it's not an issue that the agency, that it apparently hasn't really dealt with really high levels of fraud before. So And EDD did not dispute the findings, and it agreed to implement the recommendations.
Mm-hmm. So for somebody who follows this as closely as you do, yesterday's hearing must have been a goldmine of information. What were your big takeaways?
Well, every hearing, I've covered, I don't know how many hearings, in the past few months about this. And it just strikes you how intertwined all of these problems are, and trying to solve one problem, it creates other problems. One of the big things that lawmakers are really pushing EDD on and they're really grappling with is this balance between fraud prevention and getting people, legitimate people, their money. And the question of whether the pendulum has shifted, has gone too far in the other direction, and to the detriment of innocent people who've been swept up in this and are getting, as you heard the assemblyman say, increasingly desperate.
Yeah.
The agency says that it's taken these steps, that it's finally implemented more modern screening tools starting last fall for identity verification for all claims starting in October. It says that it's closed, that it's stopped the problem, that it has a handle or is getting a handle on the fraud problem. But now they're having to go back and deal with all the people that got flagged as, having potentially fraudulent claims.
Yeah. You mentioned modern in there. The backbone for the EDD's computer system is decades old, is it not?
Yes. Yeah. Decades old. And it sounds like they've implemented patches and tried to do little upgrades and fixes here or there. But one, you asked me about takeaways. One interesting takeaway is that it's so complicated because it sounds like there's just so many different systems and tools that the auditor found that there was a lack of understanding at the top about what all of these things do and how they interrelate. So, for example, last spring, to try to speed up the payments, they lifted one of the stop payment safeguards on claims, flagged as potentially fraudulent, thinking that another mechanism would stop those payments. But that didn't happen. So even at the top, I mean, the system is so complicated that even people at the top were trying to get a handle on it.
Let's talk dollars in terms of EDD's fraud problem. How did it get to be so big? And what number are we talking about? Because I've heard several.
Yeah, the number keeps changing, growing mostly. It's $11 billion. That's the number that... that's the estimate.
So $11 billion.
$11 billion, and that's what EDD released last week, and that's their best estimate right now. That includes that I think they're also including that in that number claims that they just haven't been able to verify the identity of of the people who got the money or. So, who knows? It could be lower, but that's the number that they're saying, which is truly a mind-boggling number. And 95% of that money came out of a new federal program, Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, which people know as PUA. And, that program was targeted in California and in a lot of other states because again, in the interest of getting the money out as quickly as possible, injecting it into the economy, by design, the program, Congress didn't require the same safeguards that traditional unemployment benefit programs do. Uh-huh. And criminal networks really seized on these vulnerabilities and also the extra money that, the extra $600 a week.
Yeah.
That came with these programs.
So Katie, then, since you're talking on the federal level there, is California the only state having these issues or is this pretty widespread?
It's very widespread, especially I looked at this issue with my counterpart in D.C. last fall who covers labor issues. And we talked to the Department of Labor's Inspector General's office, and they were this was extremely widespread, especially in states that offer more generous benefits. Like Alaska, for example, was not having a big problem, but their benefits are very small in comparison to mm-hmm. what California, for example, you know, was offering. So, and we know just today, I saw news about Ohio was hit, Arizona, Washington State, Colorado, Florida, and many other states. And in fact, an EDD contractor, the CEO of ID.me, which is that ID, the new ID verification tool, said, I believe that over 30%, that in the states that they're working in, over 30% of initial claims were flagged as likely fraudulent.
We only have you for a few more minutes, so I want to get to a couple of more topics. There's a parallel issue with Bank of America debit cards being frozen for suspected fraud, more than 400,000 cards as of last week. What can you tell us on the Bank of America front?
Well, Bank of America officials testified at a hearing last week, and were, you know, they said that last fall they worked with EDD, and I believe EDD directed the bank to, or told the bank that it could freeze accounts. There were certain accounts it had flagged for fraud, or they to freeze the debit cards. So now it's sort of, lawmakers are very frustrated by what they say is, you know, finger pointing between EDD and the Bank of America. You know, customers will call Bank of America and say, my card is frozen, and they'll send them to EDD and vice versa. So there is a lot of confusion around this, what's happening there. The state audit also criticized EDD for not having a process, or a good enough process in place to make sure that it could unfreeze the accounts of legitimate claimants who had had their debit cards frozen. So right now, if your Bank of America debit card is frozen, you can go back to EDD and request a, you know, paper check, but it takes time, you know. Right. So, and there's not, you know, every week can really make a huge difference.
And there's been a lot of criticism regarding the fees, right, that Bank of America takes from these cards. It was a deal, I guess, hammered out back in 2010.
Yeah, it's about 10 years old. And, you know, the bank actually, an executive at the bank testified last week that it had lost hundreds of millions of dollars on this contract in 2020, but that it didn't bring it up, but, you know, didn't want to bring it up because it paled into, you know, in comparison to other troubles that people were having. But it did not, you know, the bank was asked how much it had made off of fees, you know, over the past 5 years or so, and he didn't have that number. So, and EDD didn't have those numbers either, and was asked about that yesterday.
Yeah. I'll have to get into that, I guess, with our next guest, who is with EDD. And before we let you go on that topic, EDD has a new director, Rita Sines. Can you tell us about her appointment to the position?
Yes. So Director Sines was appointed right around you know, the start of the year. And she has been in management positions for, she said yesterday, 40 years in the public and private sectors. And she's really sought to assure lawmakers that these problems are, yes, they're enormous, but that they're fixable and that she can handle this. She does not sugarcoat the problems at all, you know, based on what I've seen in her testimony so far. And she also points out that there is a new senior management team in place. And one last thing I'll note is that later this morning, a group of state lawmakers is announcing an EDD reform bill package. And I don't know exactly what it will contain, but that's coming out later today.
Well, hopefully Assemblyman Jim Patterson, who joins us later, will have some info on that. So I appreciate it. Katie Murphy, great work that you're doing following all this with Politico. Thank you for sharing a lot of it with us here on Insight.
Thank you.
Up next, we will speak with Lori Levy, Director of Public Affairs at EDD. We'll get her perspective on the auditor's report, and we'll hear from Assemblyman Jim Patterson, who will share what he and the Oversight Committee want to see done to improve the department. If you have a question for our guest, shoot us an email, insight@capradio.org. We likely won't be able to get to them all, but let us know what you're thinking. You can also use the Twitter hashtag AskInsight. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Randall White, and we are back in just a moment.
Hi there. If you're enjoying Insight, we think you'll love our podcast, Blue Dot, with your host, that's me, Dave Shlohm. Every week, we take a deep dive into science and nature, from the search for life beyond our pale blue dot in the vastness of space to the ecosystems we all depend on. You never know what you'll hear, from the physics of Leonardo da Vinci to communications with humpback whales. Check out Blue Dot wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Randall White, and our big conversation today is about the issues facing the EDD, the Employment Development Department. In our first segment, Katie Murphy with Politico California laid out some of the details in the state's auditor's latest reports, which were delivered yesterday to the Assembly Insurance and Joint Legislative Audit Committees. The hearing got heated at times, both Democrat and Republicans taking aim at the department for its mishandling of the economic crisis and the unemployment payments. Take a listen to this exchange between Democrat Assemblyman Mike Gibson from Compton when he asked Bob Harris from the state auditor's office if the EDD has implemented some of the auditor's recommendations to change. First is Bob Harris responding to the question, followed by Gibson.
Our understanding that they haven't done any of them yet, although I would note they agreed with all of the recommendations, so they indicated that they will be implementing them, but that they have not made any substantive progress to have fully implemented any of them.
That's disheartening to me, because with all the is going on right now with EDD, to put it blank, you know, they should be, you know, Johnny on the spot, taking all the state auditors' recommendation to secure and to make sure that that fraud is not going to take place and people are not going to be disenfranchised as a result of their blunder. These recommendations should, in fact, be implemented at once, without hesitation, because the people of the state of California are pissed off, and so are we. And there is no excuse for them not to implement these recommendations to protect the people of the state of California, who is most vulnerable during this pandemic. And it's inexcusable in my mind.
Well, we are thankful to be joined by Lori Levy. She is Deputy Director of Public Affairs at EDD. And Lori, we do really appreciate you taking the time to join us and answer our questions.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Lori, as we begin, do you have any follow-up to that exchange regarding that, you know, none of the fixes have yet to be enacted?
Well, you know, we understand the frustration out there. We really do. We understand the anger. Those of us here at EDD have been working at this around the clock for a year on very grueling, long days, because we do care so very much about the welfare of our neighbors and our communities. So we do understand that. We haven't given up. We have dug in, and we are committed to really continuing to rebuild this plane in midair as we go along with this really unprecedented kind of demand. So it is understood. I mean, we did get the audit report last week. So yes, we are already making changes, and they're really important on both ends, right? On how we serve our customers, as well as how we fortify the system against fraud. So that work is ongoing. We continue to evolve and rebuild this plane in midair, and we're committed to doing so moving forward.
I imagine some of the recommendations will absolutely take time. Are there any that you can note that would be like a flip of a switch?
you know, this is an insurance program. Unemployment insurance is an insurance program. And therefore, like your car insurance, your life insurance, it's got a lot of rules and regulations associated with it. It's complex. And, you know, we do have an information IT structure that is antiquated. We did receive, you know, in the midst of the Great Recession and scarce state funds, we did get approval to modernize about 25% of that system. Gratefully, we did after the last Great Recession, and we have UI online, because if we didn't have that system today, we would not have been able to process, for instance, you know, the same amount of claims in a matter of 8 weeks at the beginning of this pandemic that we did in the entire worst year of the recession in 2010. So all those are complications, but we're moving forward, we're making headway, and I think we are better positioned in 2021 to really be serving customers as we protect the system against fraud.
So the state auditor pointed to several key mistakes made by EDD, and I'd like you to take them one at a time, if you could, helping us understand what led to the problem and whether there's a plan to fix it. Let's start with the department trying to balance identifying fraud while trying to get payments out to legitimate claimants. We just heard it mentioned from the reporter, Katie, just a moment ago. That didn't work so well.
Well, you have to remember, we have a regular unemployment insurance system that's built upon information we receive from employers with wages. And that's our normal cross-match system that we cross-match with the Social Security Administration, with the DMV, et cetera. In this pandemic, every state had to implement a brand new program, the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, that had much, much different parameters to it and did not go back to wages as reported by employers. These are the self-employed individuals. And the system had, as the U.S. Department of Labor admits, and as Katie, I think, was just talking about, certain vulnerabilities in that. And unfortunately, we have some very sophisticated crime rings out there on the domestic and the international level that are sitting on a treasure trove of stolen personal identifying information due to data breaches and so forth, getting it off the dark web. And we're ready to pounce and assault unemployment insurance systems across the country. And we just, no state was really set for that. Up until this point, the most common form of fraud was someone collecting benefits, returning to work and continuing to collect benefits and not properly notifying EDD as required. That was the most common form of fraud. So, yes, this requires a mass adjustment. And we're so very grateful, for instance, for the support of our California state senators moving forward, encouraging the Biden administration to really push for a task force at the federal level, really drawing upon the expertise of the FBI and others to help states fight this kind of organized crime activity.
Yeah, regarding that fraud, the auditor says the department was slow to react, taking 4 months to identify that there was fraud and then 6 months to take any action against it. Why so slow?
Well, you have to remember, too, 95%, as Kitty was talking about, 95% of the fraud that we have confirmed at this point comes out of that federal pandemic unemployment assistance program. And here in California, we saw that spike in claims in August. So the moment that our monitoring kind of started to see that, we went to the U.S. Department of Labor, asked for permission to stop the automatic backdating allowed in the federal law that has been really appealing to criminals, as Katie was mentioning, going back and making those former federal stimulus payments available. And once we did that, we saw PUA claims drop dramatically in 2 weeks, and so much so that the DOL went back and encouraged other states to do the same 2 weeks later. So yes, we responded to that spike. We have put some other factors in place since then, and that's why we think we're better positioned moving forward.
Let's get to the Bank of America freezing thousands of accounts when EDD had no idea of who was committing the fraud. How can this now best play out?
Well, I think, you know, there are two parallel activities going on here. Just like with any credit card, right, or any debit card, there is a banking system. And Bank of America, it always needs to monitor that activity for anything that kind of comes up and meets their criteria on potential fraud. Here at EDD, we've been really very focused on trying to see if we can validate those legitimate claimants. Those are our focus. Weed out the scammers. So we're doing that on an identity verification, eligibility verification way, and Bank of America is looking at other things, for instance, transactions and things like that. So, you know, that it required this kind of very unusual coordination at a very mass level that just has never been required before. And I think what we're trying to do in working with Bank of America going forward is how can we automate this process of, if there are cards frozen, making sure that we can do what's needed. If they need that, that means an identity needs to be verified, for example. We can do that quickly. And as we wait for a card to be unfrozen, we can go ahead and issue a check. And that is something we've been doing. But that process has got to get enhanced and improved. Mm-hmm. And we're committed to trying to work with Bank of America to do so.
We're speaking with EDD's Lori Levy. And based on the ID that you just mentioned, we did get a note from Al this morning who says EDD is requiring to use ID.me. Isn't this discriminatory against people that don't have the equipment that ID.me requires?
No, and thank you very much for that question. I mean, yes, with ID.me in place in October, we believe it has really made a massive difference. Because we used to have to manually, if things didn't match up with our cross matches, we used to have to manually verify identity. This is being able to allow us to do so automatically on the front end and really save us a lot of time in helping claimants. So ID.me does have what they call a video referee, a video chat kind of feature for those who don't have some of the technology that may be required. And there has been some long waits for that service, but ID.me has continued as they take on other states as well. They're now servicing many other states in much the same way. And they're committed to being able to increase staffing. And that is a service that's available. And we've also, I really encourage people to take advantage of the tips and guidance that we're getting out there on our website so people go in prepared and can hopefully have that experience as smooth and quick as possible. 88% of people are going through without any problem in a self-serve mode. We want to make sure we can provide that to everybody as much as possible.
Lori, let's talk about the frustration with the call centers. Assembly Salas, co-chair of yesterday's hearing, mentioned even with 3,500 new call center employees, wait times only improved, quote, marginally. We also heard a story of a claimant who waited 41 hours to get through. What needs to happen to improve this?
Obviously, it's not something we're happy with either. I mean, we have staff here that are very much wanting and anxious to help those individuals in our communities and friends, et cetera. So there are a number of things. I mean, unfortunately, with this pandemic, we had to send all of our staff working remotely, as all of us have had challenges with. And that meant we had to launch a whole new call center platform in a virtual way. That was complicated. Some of the features we had in our prior call center system, we couldn't quickly get over into the new one. We're committed to doing so moving forward. And I think that the real aspect here too is trying to adjust how we can get information, all this complicated program into the hands of those that we hire and train so that they have it at their fingertips and can be of assistance. And we're trying to route callers to staff that has, you know, that can match what is needed of that particular customer. Mm-hmm. And as all those things happen, I do think you're going to see some enhanced and improved customer service, which is desperately needed on that call center system.
The auditor called a lot of the EDD's response to the economic crisis disjointed. A lot of people say EDD is just too big. At the same time, they say it's overwhelmed. So I'm wondering, how do you have an organization that's too big get overwhelmed? Seems like the larger you would be, the more you could handle a large onslaught of things. But in this case, it's not working that way.
Well, I think what's hard for people to understand is the unemployment insurance system is federally funded in terms of the administration paid for with the taxes of employers. And it's funded as per your workload. So unfortunately, that perfect storm hit in February. We were at record low unemployment. Therefore, we had low staff. And we soared to record high unemployment within a matter of 8 weeks. And so you just can't get money coming in, hire up staff, get them trained that quickly when things have turned that fast. And that's just part of the chronic underfunding issue at the federal level. So yes, that's got to be addressed. We're fortunate for the assistance of our partners and federal government, hopefully to assist with that. But I think it's also really kind of enhancing the system as we go along and getting the support for that. We're very, very grateful for the partnership of our state IT partners, for example, the support of the administration, and seeing how we can overhaul this system moving forward in a very comprehensive way, holistic way, to better serve Californians.
So I want to close with why has the EDD been run so poorly? And it's a bipartisan group of legislators that are saying this. Is it a leadership issue, or do rules and regulations bog down the system?
You know, I have now been at EDD for 20 years, and I have been through the Great Recession. We have been through some challenges. I have never seen anything with the kind of challenges this historic pandemic has created. The volumes are just off the charts. I mean, unprecedented doesn't even begin to address it. So I think you've got that. You've got a very complex system, you know, with lots of rules and regulations. You've got this fact that we were hit at a time of low staffing, and it's very difficult to get that up and running in a very quick fashion. We're doing a lot of enhancements on the fly. We had to start a whole federal new programs, and it would be really nice if we didn't have the stop and start nature that's coming out of Congress on those systems that creates so much confusion for Californians. So I would just say we are committed to doing everything possible so this situation improves. And I implore people, please, we continue to make information available to assist you on our website. Most people can get a lot of good self-help in that way. And I hate to see them sitting on a phone waiting for hours and hours when maybe that answer that they needed was right there on our top FAQs, for example, on our website, or on the many videos we're offering in different languages, or in our chatbot automatic response system. So we're improving in emails and text messages and so forth. We're committed to doing so, and we encourage people, please continue to seek our website for as much information as possible to help as well.
And Lori, just very briefly, so many of the emails we've received in the last few minutes here have all kind of focused on the same thing, and that is they had a problem, and in sometimes it was, you know, they were getting too much money, for instance, and they just wanted someone to be able to contact at EDD to get this hammered out, and there just was no way to contact the organization. That's being fixed.
Yeah. And again, remember, there are options for you too online. We have that chatbot feature, which every time we get out new information, we get out news releases every week. We have our social media channels. We update information in that chatbot because we know we don't want people to feel like they have to call if that information was readily available for them. So yes, we're committed to improving things as we move forward. And I really do see brighter days ahead.
All right. Lori Levy, Deputy Director of Public Affairs at EDD, we truly thank you for taking the time to answer these questions, because just based on the number of like emails and contacts we're getting from our listeners right now, it's something that's very important to a lot of people.
Very important. I agree. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's hear now from Republican Assemblyman Jim Patterson. He represents the Fresno area, where he is a businessman, and he served as mayor for 8 years. Great to have you on Insight. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
So I want to start this segment with a question we got from listener Jeffrey Day. This came in through Facebook. He says, it's hard to know where to start, but I'd like to know, where does the buck stop? Assemblyman Patterson, can you answer that for Jeffrey?
I think the buck stops with the governor. This is an executive division department. He hires and appoints the individuals. He oversees the technology department, and the failure has been a decade in the making. And the auditor was very, very clear that they had had warnings for a long period of time. When you go back to the last recession, there were problems because there was a spike, obviously, in unemployment. And the warnings were simply not heeded. And when we needed the EDD most at a emergency period.
He's breaking up. That's Jim Patterson, assemblyman from the Fresno area. We'll reach out to him via phone right now so that we can get him back on the line and have him finish. In the meantime, we will take a quick break here. And when we come back, hopefully more with Jim Patterson and also some tips from Shaw Law Group on how to navigate the EDD during these rough times. I'm Randall White. This is Insight, and we're back in just a moment.
Hi there. If you're enjoying Insight, we think you'll love our podcast, Blue Dot, with your host, that's me, Dave Shlohm. Every week, we take a deep dive into science and nature, from the search for life beyond our pale blue dot in the vastness of space to the ecosystems we all depend on. You never know what you'll hear, from the physics of Leonardo da Vinci to communications with humpback whales. Check out Blue Dot wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, good morning. This is Insight. I'm your host, Randall White, and this morning we're talking about the struggles that have plagued the EDD, California's Employment Development Department, now for months, if not years. When we last left off, we were speaking with Republican Assemblyman Jim Patterson of Fresno. His Zoom call broke up, so we've got him by phone now. And welcome back, Assemblyman Patterson.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to be with you. Assemblyman, you were at yesterday's hearing, and you've been a vocal critic of the EDD. In your opinion, is fixing the department's problems a partisan issue?
Well, no. You saw that yesterday. This is not a partisan issue. This is a people issue. But I think we've got to be very clear on this. The auditor concluded something that many of us have observed and have known about almost all of the state bureaucracies in California, and I'm quoting her from her testimony. This is an agency that is embedded in bureaucracy and old processes. I guess my big point here is that these divisions and departments, built in the 60s and 70s and then added on to, they are typically large state government bureaucracies that are slow to move with old or dying technology, and an inability to modernize. How many times do we have to hear the word modernize before we actually see it? So this is a systemic, long-lasting problem. I want you to think about this. We are the sixth largest economy on the planet, the home of the Silicon Valley geniuses. We're 20 years into the 21st century. And almost all of California's divisions and bureaucracies run slow, inefficient, with bad technology, and they continue to promise we're going to get better.
Assemblyman, would you vote to provide the money for that modernization?
Yeah, we've done that over and over. Here's the problem with EDD. They don't tell us the truth. We cannot do for them what they need to have done when we are continually kept in the dark. And with all respect to the EDD, and they were warned. They never came to us and said, we were warned 2008, 2009, 2010. We can't respond unless we are told the truth. And I will just say, the lack of transparency, the hiding the ball, the excuse making, it does not help gain credibility with those of us who sit on budget committees and oversight committees.
Yeah, so you've made a big issue of the fees collected by EDD and Bank of America when people swipe their debit cards. Tell us what you know about that and why you're upset with the practice.
Well, we're basically making people who are unemployed pay the price and give fees to Bank of America, and they basically kick those fees in a split back to EDD. And it comes out of the proceeds of people who are desperate. I mean, this is insult added on to injury. But here's the bigger, this is the bigger issue. With all of the happy talk we hear, the problems are still there. The innocent ones who played by the rules, they're still getting hurt. We're still seeing the fraud. We're still seeing the delays. We're still seeing debit cards that are frozen. We are still in the status quo of failure, despite all of the happy talk we hear from the people at EDD.
So this a deal made with Bank of America was made back in 2010 under Governor Schwarzenegger. What would you recommend as a good alternative to the agreement that's currently in place?
Well, first of all, I think going through credit cards and debit cards and all that, they are layered on with heavy fees. The banks use those processes to collect, you know, 6, 8, 10%. And the outrage here is that they're splitting the fee back with the EDD. People in the 21st century get paid by direct deposit. It is easy, simple, and affordable. And why we decide to go with a debit system in which there is a profit motive and a fee that is put on the unemployed at the time that they need to use it. And I think also the outrage of freezing innocent people who followed the rules. I have had people talk with me from my district, people I've known for years, who have called and said, I was at the grocery store and I've been unemployed and I was buying groceries and my card was denied. So not only did they not go home with groceries, they were publicly humiliated by either the Bank of America or by the EDD or by both. The innocents are being the ones who are being hurt here. So while the fraudsters got a big payday, millions of Californians had difficulty. Many of them who had their identity stolen, because EDD is still sending out Social Security numbers in the mail with names and addresses, which is against state law, by the way. And so the people who needed it the most are now having the most difficulty while the fraudsters had a big payday. And so I think the frustration was bipartisan and palpable. And honestly, you have to put the responsibility where it belongs, and that is on the desk of the governor. This is an executive branch operation over which he has authority, hiring and firing and appointive power. And it just has been a failure. And I don't see it. I don't see it quickly returning to any kind of reliability.
Assemblyman Patterson, we had Politico California reporter Katie Murphy on not that long ago this hour, and she said that there is some legislation in the works to help fix this problem with EDD. What can you tell us about what will be presented later today, I believe?
Well, a lot of us are on board. I'm a co-author of a lot of it. But I want to make sure we understand that there are two processes here. So we are insisting through budget language, through language that is declarative, and it is in the EDD budget, and we can do that immediately within a matter of a month or two. And that's basically going to say you have got to do every single one of the auditor's recommendations. The other way that we're doing this is sort of a 1-2 fix, is that I'm producing legislation and joining with others in an emergency form of legislation, which means it has to have a 2/3, but it does get through quickly, and as soon as it gets to the governor, he can sign it, and that is going to require the EDD to absolutely and immediately do the kinds of things that the auditor has said, and if we have them accountable in the budget, with the budget language, and if we have them accountable with emergency legislation, there will be no excuse going forward that these warnings were put on the shelf. Mm-hmm. We're not going to have another repeat of what happened a decade ago. And I think the legislature is laser focused on pushing back, because people are hurting and members of the legislature are taking thousands of calls. My office has fielded 3,000 cases. Every member of my staff is presently working on probably 100 cases or so, all of them EDD foul-ups. That's how bad this is.
Assemblyman Patterson, finally, you've mentioned the governor on a couple of occasions this morning, saying that the buck stops with him. The governor did make a change at the top of EDD. Do you have confidence in Director Sines?
Well, you ask a straightforward question, I'm going to give you a straightforward answer. No, I don't.
And why is that?
Because we hear that this is routine, right? I mean, these are people appointed by the governor, whether this is over at High Speed Rail, whether it's DMV, whether it's EDD. And they seem often to talk a good line, but when you get down in the trenches with 3,000 people talking to this office about EDD failure, you look at it and you say, all of that happy talk, all of that pledge to fix. So they say that ID.me is a really good, important thing, and it isn't adequate for the volume. They say they put up email information so people can easily reach them over the 1099-Gs that they're going to be receiving, where innocent people did not receive their unemployment. They were defrauded of unemployment, and somebody else got the money, but they're going to get a tax levy.
All right.
So the happy talk is what I hear from these bureaucracies and divisions all the time, and I do not see improvement. I see marginal dinking around the edge. And I'm going to go back to why. Elaine Howell, the editor, says these agencies, they are embedded in bureaucracies and old processes. And if they don't remanufacture the bureaucracy and get 21st century technology that actually works, I call it Amazon-like, right? Amazon processes, you know, huge volume, secure transactions, and their service or their product comes to your door the next day. All right, that's the 21st century, and I have no confidence that bureaucracies in the state of California that are highly politicized are going to be able to make those kinds of changes.
All right. Assemblyman Jim Patterson of Fresno, I got to stop you there. We really appreciate you taking the time to share your thoughts with us this morning, though.
Sure.
All right. Let's move now quickly to Jennifer Shaw. She's the president of Shaw Law Group and an expert in employment law. We've had you on the show several times, Jennifer, and you always have great tips. Unfortunately, we only have a couple of minutes to get to these, but did you hear anything from the assemblyman or EDD's Lori Levy that stood out to you in terms of the department taking corrective action, getting people the benefits they need?
Well, excuse me, Randall, my voice is a little weird today. Here's the thing. There's a lot of finger pointing, and there's a lot of positive statements about what can be done. Here's the problem. There are people right now who need help. So what I'm concerned about is I understand they need better technology. I understand they need more people. I don't think anybody can really argue about that, but there are some pretty simple things that could be done in terms of just giving these individuals access to speak to someone, to get an answer. You and I have talked so many times about this, Randall, and I am still getting so much feedback from folks who are legitimately entitled to benefits and they can't get anybody on the phone. So I guess what I would urge if I were in charge of the universe is, yes, there's a big problem that needs to be fixed, but could we start with just giving access to people who have questions? That sort of thing is really at the heart of the individuals who are being affected by this, and it's employers and employees. For example, Randall, I have employers who want to use the WorkShare program, which is a way to avoid layoffs. Yet they can't get anyone at the EDD to help them get the program set up. They go online. There was new legislation that was effective this year that was supposed to streamline work share. And it has in some ways, but there are so many employers who are now opting to lay off employees rather than try to figure out how to use the work share program. Mm-hmm. So I applaud everybody's efforts. I think the auditor's report is right on, but I want there to be a focus on the individuals. And obviously that's what the assemblyman was talking about the cases in his office.
Right.
But I just want to encourage everyone who's listening, keep calling, keep emailing. I do know the EDD is working on the communication, but what I don't want people to do is give up. And I've talked to a lot of people who have thrown their hands in the air, and yet they've paid money through their taxes year in and year out for these benefits.
Right. So don't give up. That's the underlying sentiment from Jennifer Shaw. She's president of Shaw Law Group. Jennifer, I want you to go rest your voice. And I want to thank you so much for giving us those closing thoughts.
Well, Randall, thank you so much. You be well.
Likewise. That's Insight for today. More about our guests at capradio.org/insight. I'm Randall White. As always, thank you for joining us, and we'll catch you back here on Monday.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.